to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on the TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight.
All right. I ran through that number quickly. People are already calling the office here going, what was that number again for Headaches Take On? 800-327-0727. And a programming note to our listeners out there via the shortwave. I apologize, folks. The 12-180 in the morning works just fine. You can hear Derry Brownfield, Greg Szymanski, Ed Brown. You can hear Mark, I almost said Mike Michael Herzog, which is doing a program now from 2 to 4 p.m. Central Time. But when the National Intel Report rolls around, ladies and gentlemen, 12-180 is non-existent. We are taking steps, even if I have to go buy some time off of another shortwave station, I'm going to remedy this problem. I apologize, but when you get around to the evening time, we start broadcasting, I do believe, at 6 p.m. on that 5050. Mike Piper, when you roll around at 8 p.m. Central Time, 50-50 comes in just fine. But when I'm on my show, forget it. You can't hear it.
That's, well, you know, that's, I guess, just one of the problems that are always going to be around, you know.
It's called jamming.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It works.
I mean, no way you can get away from it. If people have the technology, they come in and do just what they do, you know, and, yeah.
Doug Bell. Hello, Doug.
Hey, how you doing today, John?
Hi.
Listen, something for you and Mr. Piper both. I asked your viewers to get a pencil and paper. Got something that might be kind of important. I think there's a few of us that listen to these radio broadcasts that believe that George W. Bush might be considered a criminal in some ways or fashions with the American people, against the American people.
Boy, that's putting it mildly, but go ahead.
Okay, well, if that's the case, I just learned about something, and I've got an email all put together. It's got all the information in it, and anybody sends me an email to just UN@togetherworks.com. Okay, I'll send you the information. Here's what it's about. The important name is a lady called Louise Arbor. Her name is spelled A-R-B-O-R, Louise Arbor. She's a former Supreme Court justice from Canada who was hired some years ago by the UN to come in as the chief lead prosecutor and criminal investigator, and she was the one that took down Milosevic. And she was the one that was put together the indictment, got it signed by a judge, and then because it was a sealed indictment, they just waited for him to leave the country where he was protected, and they picked him up, took him to some place where he couldn't run off, and they convicted him with the help of 13 other countries for human rights violations, including all the crimes that he had done against humanity. Mm. Well, from there, she was promoted to the top, what I call the top criminal prosecutor position in the world. She's the head of the human rights, and that's all human rights. It's civil rights, political rights, anything to do with human rights over the UN. She's that top prosecutor now, and her slogan is that she has a passion for justice no matter who you are. And they have on her website, there is a complaint form, a criminal complaint form. It's just a simple two-page thing, and you fill it out and send it to her, and if she gets... The way they've got it set up is if you're an official from a country, and I've already contacted both Ron Paul and Carl Levin to submit this, and I'm asking that all the American people submit this. If enough of us do it, she'll investigate him for criminal crimes.
Well, it's interesting, Doug. Hang on a second. I've got a few comments about that. Slobodan Milosevic. Billy Clinton had his way over there in Macedonia and parts, but I think we were picking on the wrong people. We'll be right back.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Americans already realize our nation is in deep trouble, need special edition hard copy literature to awaken the widest possible spectrum of people to the imminence of our nation's peril. The Artificially Sweetened Times informs people that the artificial sweetener aspartame is a hidden addiction killing people worldwide with a cluster of symptoms we now call Rumsfeld's disease. Find out who's responsible for unleashing this weapon of mass misery on the world and become part of the global movement to eliminate this neurotoxic drug from our food supply. The People's Income Tax Guide cites congressional records, Supreme Court decisions, and newspaper articles at the time to prove conclusively that wages were never intended to be taxed as income. A lot has happened in the world since 9/11. The report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 disproves the government's explanation of September 11 through a careful analysis of the evidence. The Artificially Sweetened Times, the People's Income Tax Report, and the report of the Citizens Commission on 9/11 are priced for mass distribution. Sample copies are just $3. Call 208-255-2307 or go to idaho-observer.com.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%. Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I understand your position, John, that maybe Milosevic may not have been the right guy or whatever, but that's not the point of what I was trying to share with you. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that most people in the 9/11 movement or people that are against the war in Iraq are missing the point is that there's criminals involved in both of those acts, okay, and they're in our government, I believe. And so I don't care if a guy has robbed a bank or he's started an illegal war. It's a criminal act one way or the other. And there's two important elements that are always missing in the people that are after that level of criminal. You have to have these two elements or you can't get an indictment. You have to have a criminal investigator who can take the evidence that's at every crime scene. I mean, look at all the evidence that they're collecting related to 9/11 right now. And they have to be able to connect that physical evidence to a physical person before you can indict them, right, before you can get an indictment.
But let me ask you a question, Doug.
Sure.
Would it be easier, because they've done their job. To them, the issue of 9/11 is closed. They've issued their report. They put all of their... all the people that were bought and paid for on the commission, they did their best to cover things up. But if we wanted to go after George Bush, I mean, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House now, She said immediately after taking that position that, no, she's not going to entertain any thoughts about the impeachment of President Bush. And there would have to be an impeachment process if you're going to indict the guy and do all these other things. But let me ask you a question. Do you think, Doug, that George Bush committed treason against the people of the United States by doing this North American Union agreement?
Absolutely.
Do you think it'd be easier to prosecute him on that than it would be the 9/11 issue?
Well, it makes no difference which one of the criminal actions that you take him up under, but I disagree with you that you have to impeach him first. It depends on where you're trying to do it from.
Mm-hmm.
And stop and think of the other advantage of what I just shared with you. And I said to you that this lady is the top prosecutor in the world. Her jurisdiction is literally above that of every country just because she's with the UN, okay?
Mm, yeah.
And so, therefore, she goes out with her expertise, the same team of prosecutors and investigators with her to this top post, all right? And so when they decide that they're going to do a criminal investigation and put together an indictment and then go forward and actually prosecute somebody for something, there's nobody higher that I've been able to recognize. So therefore, you know, there's nobody in this country that Bush could put any pressure on to stop her because she's outside their jurisdiction. She's outside their control.
Well, hasn't there been, Michael, am I in error here, or has this president and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, haven't they been indicted in world courts over humanitarian or whatever? Hasn't countries around the globe already indicted these guys?
Okay, well, what has happened is there have been a variety of forums that have been assembled in various places. I believe one in Europe, and I know Dr. Mahathir Mohamad in Malaysia held a war crimes conference, and they formally charged George W. Bush with war crimes. But it's a matter now of getting it enforced. And I would say about this Louise Arbour, the thing to keep in mind is, now I was never really fully versed on the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the events in Eastern Europe that led up to the indictment of Milosevic. But I will say this much, that people I know and respect, people who are very well versed in those events that took place there, felt that Mr. Milosevic was unfairly prosecuted, that this is a case of there's two sides to every story, and that, in fact, if anything, the argument could be made that Milosevic was someone who was standing up to what we generally call the New World Order, and that's precisely why he was indicted and charged with war crimes, which then opens up the question as to how Louise Arbour got to where she is, and what her agenda was from the very beginning.
Yeah,
my feeling is that although, you know, she's been praised, as the caller here, Doug, has said, she's been praised for her determination to prosecute war criminals, whoever they may be, I'm just afraid that her determination to prosecute war criminals only extends as far as those who have been determined by the powers that be to be standing up against the New World Order. So I'm not sure that Louise Arbour's agenda may be so devoted to human rights and the prosecution of crimes as we might hope that she is.
Well, so, I'd like to comment on that. I'm glad you brought that up because I was hoping that it was going to come into this discussion. I would suggest to you that you run over to Blockbuster tonight, okay, and pick up Hunt for Justice. That's the video that was produced about the whole Milosevic thing, how she was brought into the process, by who, and how she didn't want to go do it, but she decided she would, and she changed everything. She changed their focus about how they were going to go about it. She is if anything about that story is true, and we all know that could have been fabricated as well, but it's a pretty convincing story of the values of this woman and what she stands for. And if it is accurate, if there is the possibility that it's accurate, again, you talked about these different commissions that brought forward charges. Charges mean nothing. There's all kinds of charges out there right now, but until those charges are given to a competent investigator who can link the charge, the evidence, with the individual person, they have to create that link, okay? That requires the investigator. Once that investigator puts together an indictable chain of evidence, a prosecutable chain of evidence, Then they take it forward and put together a formal indictment document, which the prosecutor does, not the investigator, and that prosecutor has to get a judge to sign it. She's been the only person on the planet that's ever been able to do that against a president of a country successfully. Now, that says something. So at least, why not give it a shot? What do we get to lose?
Well, and anything that's coming out of the UN, Doug...
I know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that don't like what he's doing around the world right now, have you noticed? And I'm just wondering, what have we got to lose? We've just got to stop him and the whole bunch that's with him, and this might be an avenue. And what have we got to lose by filling out that form and send it, and enough of us do it, it'll get looked at.
Well, I don't know if you heard my show the other day, but I said right on the air, and I'm not for military coups or takeovers, but I'm hearing once again that Pentagon generals are getting ready to resign in protest.
Right.
They did the same thing under the Clinton administration. I think we had 24 generals at one fell swoop up and resign. They figured that this is going to make earth-shattering news and people are going to pay attention to them. No, the controlled press never covered it. You know, I look at instances like this, and I said on the program that I'm not for military coups or takeovers, but I would not be opposed at this point, as dangerous a situation that we're in right now. And who is supposed to be the commander-in-chief sitting in Washington, D.C. right now, that I would not be opposed to military personnel, preferably the Marines, marching right now into the White House, putting cuffs on him and his second-in-command, and hauling him off to jail for charges of treason. Now, Doug, my problem here is with this convoluted outside of U.S. kind of thing going after this president. We have the means and the mechanism and the people here inside this country that can do what George Bush, it needs to be done to him.
You know, I would add to that, John, you know, as much as I would like to see Louise Arbor bring war crimes charges against George W. Bush, you know, this is one of those situations that is very touchy because, I have to preface it by saying something that I think you'll both agree with. I don't believe that George Bush is a loyal American. I believe that his loyalties lie elsewhere, and I believe he is a war criminal and all sorts of other criminals. but my problem with the concept, as John is saying here, of a venue outside the United States, what if we had a good American president who was doing something good for America, but other countries didn't like it? And they use this same mechanism. We would be setting a bad precedent there.
Be careful what you ask for. You just may get it.
Yeah, you know, turning, you know, as bad as George Bush is, he really is our problem. And, you know, I remain hopeful that there are good people in the military who will take the necessary action to arrest George W. Bush and Dick Cheney and say to the American people, look, we didn't want to do this. We're arresting these two guys. We recommend they be put on trial for their criminal activities and then allow the constitutional system. Unfortunately, you realize that would make Nancy Pelosi president of the United States.
And there's a whole other set of problems.
Yeah, but it would be enough. It would be enough, I think, to rock the boat to set the stage for a possible, how can I say this, you know, to set the stage for an awakening here in the United States. That even our military people, where President Bush tells us to support the troops, well, let us support the troops in taking action against the criminal activities of two traitors in the White House, and bring them to account. Let the truth be told, and let the chips fall where they may.
And Michael, I have watched this, and I start hearing it when people were opposed to Bush, his plans for the democratizing of the Middle East. When I start seeing people, and this is the respite of cowards, when they came out and said, yes, but we've got to support our troops. This is what our Congress critters are, criminals up there in D.C., which you're really familiar with because you live there, Michael. When they start coming out and saying, but this isn't support of our troops. The last respite of a coward, rather than saying, okay, you really want to support our troops? Get them the heck out of there now. But instead, these appropriation bills, everything else, well, it's American, it's patriotic to support our fighting men in uniform, isn't it? Oh, my God. When I started hearing that, I just, my toes just curled.
What we have going on in Congress is what I call legislative leisure domain. They're trying to play stage tricks with us.
Doug, thanks for your call. We got a break, Mike. Hang on.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017. Or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, 2 months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 8822.
We're back, folks. Webster Tarpley the other day put out a report here about Operation Bite. This is supposedly to take place in Iran. And it's going to fire up April 6th. That's Good Friday opening of Easter weekend, folks. And in this report, it spells out what bases and what nuclear subs are going to be used and what aircraft carriers and so on and so forth. And Novosti was asked to comment on this Yugolov report. This Colonel General Leonid Ivashov confirmed its essential features in a March 21st interview. He says, I have no doubt there will be an operation, or more precisely, a violent action against Iran. Ivashov, who reportedly served at various times as an informal advisor to Russian President Vladimir Putin, is currently the vice president of the Moscow Academy of Geopolitical Sciences. Well, when this started making the rounds, Ivashov attributed decisive importance to the decision of the Democratic leadership of the U.S. House of Representatives to remove language from the just-passed Iraq Supplemental Military Appropriations Bill that would have demanded that Bush come to Congress before launching an attack on Iran. Now, Ivashov pointed out that the language was eliminated from our friends under pressure from AIPAC, a lobbying group representing the Israeli extreme right, and from Israeli Foreign Minister Livni. So there's our friends again, Michael.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is what always amazes me, you know. It's, you know, you're absolutely not allowed to say that the Israeli lobby and supporters of Israel are the prime movers behind the proposed attack on Iraq. Even General Wesley Clark, whose father was Jewish, General Wesley Clark made a statement some months ago, a month or two ago, in which he said that he believed that an attack on Iran was probable, that something was in the works. And the reason why he said that was, he said if you read the Israeli press, and he said he also expressed his opinion that he believed, in his words, not mine, the quote-unquote New York money people wanted the United States to go to war against Iran. Well, the New York money people are, and really, let's face it, what he was referring to was the people who finance AIPAC and the people who are prime movers behind the Israeli political action committees, the ones that provide campaign money for the Republicans and the Democrats. But, you know, when you mention this, you know, there's this massive screaming and saying, oh, that's anti-Semitism. No, what it is, it's just real, live, hardcore power politics. And that's what we started off talking about here earlier, John. It comes full circle that you have the people who have a lot of money and who have a lot of political power and the ability to pressure American Christians who support Israel, who are powerful in elements of the Republican Party, to assure the Republicans that, hey, you're doing a good thing by supporting a war against Iran, and we'll go along with you. In the meantime, you have these Democrats, you know, these Democrats who are playing these games around Iraq and Iran. But like I said before the break, what it is, it's legislative leisure domain. These are magic tricks, stage tricks, illusions, to give Americans the impression that the Democratic leadership is standing up to the Bush administration when really nothing could be further from the truth. There are a few serious Democrats in the House of Representatives who are standing up to George Bush. One of them is John Murtha from Pennsylvania. And what I think is important about the fact that John Murtha is doing this is that ask anybody in the military. John Murtha has been known to be throughout his career as a spokesman for the military on Capitol Hill. So when you hear John Murtha talk, you're not hearing a left winger talking here, John. John Murtha is a friend of the military. John Murtha is a spokesman for the military. When you hear John Murtha talk, you're hearing the military talk. You're hearing our men in uniform saying, "Get out of Iraq and stay out of Iran." It's that simple.
I saw Murtha the other day giving a speech in Congress, and the man was in tears.
Yeah,
he was literally crying as he was standing in the well of Congress.
Yeah, now you know John Murtha is not perfect. We've all heard they dredged up his problems that he had some years ago when it looked as though he was setting the stage to take a bribe. Okay, you know, he's a politician. He's not perfect, but I'll tell you what, as far as what he's saying about Iraq right now, he's perfect as far as I'm concerned, and I think I can make the assertion that he's perfect as far as the military leadership is concerned. And I don't think there's anybody in this listening audience right now who would say that our generals and admirals are anti-American, that they're cowards, that they're left-wingers, that they're pro-terrorists, that they're pro-Muslim extremists or anything like that. These military guys know that the war is not in our interest.
Certainly not in the million dead Iraqis. It hadn't been in their interest. And who knows what's going to happen in Iran if they pull this one off. And Michael, in the chaos, the ensuing chaos that would happen with us going into Iran, just at the time that the Congress is seriously looking about giving a timetable to pull our troops out of Iraq, they didn't build all those bases over there for nothing.
That's right.
There is an ongoing agenda, ladies and gentlemen, for ongoing operations and democratization of the Middle East. Of course, it's against their wishes, but we know what's best. We must- Hang on, everybody. Michael, can you stay with me a few more minutes?
Yeah, sure. Why not? What the hell?
Okay. His folks, if you got to jump and go do something here, his program is on this network at 8 p.m. Central Time, and that's on 5.050 on your shortwave. You can actually hear him.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
You know, it's just simply amazing. All of a sudden, I always check my program during the breaks on shortwave just to see how it's coming in, and amazing, amazing, amazing. It's coming in like gangbusters. Somebody is playing games. Mr. France down there at WWRB, please do something about this. Please. I don't want to take this time slot to another network. I certainly don't want to do that for continuity purposes. But somebody better figure out why this program is constantly hammered and nobody can hear it on shortwave. Now they can hear it this minute. But wait another minute, it might be gone again. Richard Walker, he's formerly with the BBC, also in this edition of the American Free Press, under the banner of Mission Accomplished, banner in tatters. He writes that for the U.S. military, the situation has only gotten worse, and the new troop surge promotes an ever-revolving door of enlisted personnel shuttling between the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. The numbers of American wounded are now in the tens of thousands, with many horribly scarred forever. And the cost in dollars mounts every day, climbing into the hundreds of billions. and making a mockery. And it could be, could well be up to $1 trillion, folks. You know, like anything else. Like anything else, they're not telling us the truth. You know, this is making a mockery of the 2003 White House promise that Iraqi oil would pay for the occupation. The war has also created the largest ever number of mercenaries, 100,000 of them hired by the Pentagon to inflate the ranks of the U.S. personnel on the battlefield. Now, many of these hired guns are being paid ridiculous salaries, and there has been no oversight of their activities. Worse still, they are not bound by the laws of war or by the laws of Iraq because they are considered part of an occupying force. Mercenaries, Michael, that we, and I'm sure that this is for the troop morale over there. I'm sure this is just wonderful because they're hearing the horror stories. Don't get shot over there, because if you need intensive follow-up care in a VA hospital, you ain't going to get it.
Absolutely.
But these people that are in their ranks right now, these paid mercs, you know, how deflating would that be to be standing there next to a guy that's getting rich off of this while you're getting your butt shot off in a police action and being an occupying force and you're not being paid anything? And then if you do make it out of there in pieces and you're at the behest of the Veterans Administration, my God, I mean, the troop morale has got to be at an all-time low. I don't think a little pay raise like Billy Clinton did with the forces over there is going to make any difference with our troops.
Well, you know, I always think back, I always say I think anecdotes really illustrate the horror of what's going on in our world today. And I remember back when Jessica Lynch was made into a national hero by the press, and I'm not taking away from Jessica Lynch, but there was a black girl who was with her, I should say a black woman who was with her, and that woman was severely injured herself. But, you know, when she was trying to get help from the Veterans Administration, they weren't even willing to provide. They wanted her back in the ranks, and they weren't even providing her the medical assistance and help that she needed for her family. I mean, that's the story we did. You know, it finally did break into the press because a few black members of Congress came out and started to speak out, but it didn't make the national news. The American people were all wrapped up in the hosannas to Jessica Lynch. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Jessica Lynch. She herself later came out and basically suggested in really no uncertain terms that she felt that she had been used, and she was very resentful of the fact that the media had focused on her and ignored her friends and colleagues there in the military who suffered with her on that terrible day, and that terrible day in Iraq, a place where they never had any business being in the first place.
Let's go back to the phones. Thanks for holding as long as you have been holding. Will in Montana. Hello, Will.
Hey, greetings to you guys.
Yes, sir.
Well, I thought I had heard everything, but apparently not. I find it a little bit unbelievable that neither one of you men jumped on that United Nations caller.
That was Doug Bell, and I was about ready to, but we had already spent enough time on this. And, you know, everybody is looking for that silver lining in that big, dark, dank cloud, and I see none whatsoever with the United Nations because I understand what they're there for.
Yeah. Bill, I would have to disagree with you because I think John made the point initially, and then I followed up on it. I may not have actually used the term United Nations, but I said very specifically that I thought that if we turned the prosecution of George W. Bush over to the United Nations, that would be going outside the realm of American sovereignty.
And that sword cuts both ways.
Right, exactly. So I think, respectfully saying this, Will, I think you maybe misunderstood what we were saying or didn't pick up on the deeper ramifications of it, because I don't want to see American sovereignty in any form surrendered to the United Nations. I think we need to take care of our own problem here at home, and I'd like to see the military do it, because the military, if anybody, has the most to lose most immediately in these insane wars that George W. Bush is waging in the name of the New World Order. And let me make one more point. I think we have to keep in mind that in the old days, the United Nations represented very much the New World Order, but there's been a the chairs on the Titanic have been rearranged, so to speak, and now George W. Bush is pursuing the New World Order by using American military men and women to do it.
The monogram deck chairs on the Titanic. Will, anything else, sir?
Well, I would agree with what you both have said, but the point I'd like to make is that, first of all, the man who called was a very persuasive presenter, and you let him go on with his presentation. And I can't think of much that would be less useful to our nation than to submit any authority over this country to the United Nations.
I couldn't agree with you more.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Okay.
That's why God bless. I said what I said.
Yeah, God bless you. Well, I just say, I'll tell you what I hear all the time, you guys. I hear people going halfway with their rebuttals or their proposed solutions. In any case, the first step in solving a problem is to properly identify what it is. And when somebody calls up and makes a suggestion like that, it sounds, John, like maybe you know that fellow. And I wouldn't know anything about him. I don't know his political affiliation or anything else. But bottom line is, when anybody in my country starts talking about glorifying the United Nations, they're going on my blacklist.
You know, I would just add, Will, that my impression of Mr. Bell is, and I don't know the man, the guy who called, my impression is that he perhaps allowed himself to be taken in by a lot of the positive publicity that this Louise Arbour received, and that, you know, that he believes that she truly is dedicated to human rights and dedicated to cracking down on war criminals and international intriguers, and that I think he's assuming maybe he's hoping too much that the publicity about this woman really means something. I think that's the problem here. I think he was well intentioned, but I think he was advocating something I think we need to take care of our problems here at home, and then we wouldn't have people in other countries trying to come in here and tell us what to do.
Gee, yeah. Michael, could you imagine Ron Paul being the president in 2008 and we know his position on the United Nations? Things would drastically change in this country.
Right. See, this is the thing. I guess what it comes down to really is that if we didn't have a president who has ignored George Washington's sage advice to stop running around the world, or to not run around the world and make alliances and to interfere in the affairs of other nations, then we wouldn't be putting other nations in the position of having to say, what are we going to do about the United States?
Yeah, and this idea, and again, Michael, the way this is portrayed on mainstream media, that, they talk endlessly about the coalition forces. No, just read that as United Nations forces. What they just haven't done is put on the blue beanies or the blue helmets yet, but this is the forerunner to their global consortium of getting countries together and passing votes and then going up and beating up on whoever they want to.
You know what I always say, John and Will? I always say that I think the big trick the New World Order forces are playing on us now is this, that they're allowing us to keep the American flag, and they're telling us that the American flag is the banner under which we're going to bring the world into order, and anybody who opposes this is un-American or unpatriotic. I mean, don't forget, Hillary Clinton herself is one of the co-sponsors of a proposed constitutional amendment that would ban burning the American flag. Now, people say, oh, she's just doing this to win the patriotic vote. No, I think it goes a little deeper than that. I think the New World Order forces want to play this game, you know, and let us think we have our national sovereignty. Let us have that flag in our courtrooms and hanging above our public buildings, when in reality they're doing everything they can to pervert our national sovereignty. and to subvert our national sovereignty.
Will, thank you for your call. Your point is well taken. Michael, I hadn't talked to you about this subject before, but I had seen a lot on the web and talking about America as the empire. And this is just empire building for America. And when I first start seeing these articles and those references made to George Bush in the United States, well, it's just it's empire building just like the Brits did. You know, when I saw that, I just cringed because George Bush, Dick Cheney, anybody that's in that cabinet in the White House right now is doing the bidding for the globalist, period.
Absolutely. You know, John, a couple years ago, let me correct myself. The Jewish Institute for National Security Affairs, it's an organization which is allied with AIPAC. It's called JINSA. In fact, Dick Cheney was a member of the advisory committee of JINSA. A lot of JINSA people were part of the gang in the Bush White House that got us into Iraq and want to get us into Iran. In their magazine, they published, and I hope Will is listening, in their magazine, they published a very interesting article in which they said essentially this. They said, the UN is no longer relevant. And these are my words, bear in mind, but this is what they said. They said, the UN is no longer relevant. The UN is no longer a tool to advance the New World Order. Now, the United States is the mechanism for the New World Order, and the United States is going to be responsible for doing the things that the United Nations has failed to do. Therefore, the United States should be permitted to pursue the wars in Iraq and Iran and wherever else it's necessary to bring about the New World Order.
Let me run something by you. I'm going to test your mettle here and your intuitiveness. I know you're a sharp fellow. A short article came out. Newsflash, Chavez is now getting a Russian weapons factory built by Putin. The Russians are building an AK-47 Kalashnikov assault rifle factory in Venezuela to give armament support to communist rebel groups throughout the Americas. Chavez now has Iranians operating his oil refineries in Venezuela for him. It is likely only a matter of time, if not already, before Chavez has Iranian-built long-range missiles with a variety of warhead types aimed at guess who. Now, it goes into the Citgo deal and they're renaming Citgo, Petro Express, whatever. And this article says, or this news urgent release here says, every dollar you spend with Citgo or Petro Express will be used against you, your basic human rights, and what's left of your freedoms. Using revenue from holdings, you will start wars here in America that will probably bring about the death of millions of Americans. This is a very important move that everybody should be made aware of. What do you think of that?
Well, first of all, I think that's hearkening back to this Cold War rhetoric, which, the idea that Putin is trying to stir up communist revolution worldwide. Number one, I don't believe that, first of all. Second of all, I don't believe that that Americans who think very seriously about the Cold War can accept the idea that really there was, let's face it, The Chase Manhattan Bank had an office in Moscow as early as the 1920s, and it remained in operation in Moscow up through the present day. So the international bankers, these forces behind the New World Order, when they liked the communist system, they were willing to work with it. And now what we find is the international bankers, through the Council on Foreign Relations, they've been issuing reports attacking Putin. They've been issuing reports attacking Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez is not a communist. He is a nationalist, and he's standing up to the New World Order. So what I think here is we have some very clever people trying to use traditional Cold War anti-communist rhetoric, and I am the biggest anti-communist you can find. I don't like communism. But what people are trying to do is lead good American patriots into opposing people by telling us that they are communists, that they're trying to hurt America, when in fact what these people are doing, Hugo Chavez, Putin, the Iranians, Slobodan Milosevic, even Saddam Hussein. I'm not saying these are all good guys, but they were trying to assert their own national sovereignty, and that's what American patriots believe in, their own national sovereignty. And George Washington is a guy who laid down in his farewell address the concept of national sovereignty, and that did not include international imperialism. George Washington was anti-imperialist. He didn't believe we should interfere in the affairs of other countries, nor did he think other countries should interfere in the affairs of the United States. So I warn people not to listen to these efforts. I mean, you know, John, I don't know how many times over the years, past couple years, I've been called a left-winger, and I'm the farthest thing from a left-winger you can find. But I know what I see, and I know that what George W. Bush is doing is pursuing the New World Order. I mean, it was his father who used the term New World Order.
Coming into view, a New World Order. That's right. Tell you what, we got a break here. Your program, Mr. Piper, I appreciate you spending this time with us. Your program is coming on in just a couple hours, 8 p.m. Central Time, on shortwave 5.050, I'll get this out. And also on the Internet, your program, by the way, for people that miss it, it goes up on the archives literally within 15 minutes, so you don't have to miss his program. Thank you, Michael.
All right, thanks, John. It was a lot of fun.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Good work, John. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN Network.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. You might have heard my cell phone ring while I was still on air. Evidently, somebody in Washington, D.C. figures that Michael Collins Piper with yours truly, John Stadtmuller, together on the same program is somewhat of a danger. The call that came in from the Washington, D.C. area, 202-556-0000. Nice to know our Fed friends in Washington, D.C. are paying close attention. You damn well better. Because we're in a fight for this country, for the restoration of a constitutional republic. And if that's all the giddy ha-has you get by calling me while I'm on the air, you better get a new life. Better still, you better find a new country, because we're taking this one back. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez lied to Congress. Now it seems obvious. It's also clear that now Congress wants Gonzalez, Karl Rove, and others to testify under oath about the matter. At issue, of course, is the White House firing of 8 U.S. attorneys, while everyone seems preoccupied with the fact that U.S. attorneys serve at the pleasure of the president and may be fired at his discretion. They conveniently overlook the circumstances surrounding their dismissal. While President Bill Clinton fired all the U.S. attorneys almost immediately after taking office, Bush's White House apparently fired these U.S. attorneys after they had faithfully served his administration for some 6 years. The cloud of suspicion rises even further when it appears that at least some of these U.S. attorneys were engaged in cases involving government corruption and secret national security grand jury investigations. At heart of the firing seems to be the U.S. attorney, Carol Lam of California, who is reportedly conducting testimony regarding espionage and prostitution / pedophilia sex rings. Clients are reputed to be U.S. senators and congressmen, news reporters, and high government officials. I hope that was one of the people that just called me on air, you little pedophile. Readers will remember that it was Lam who successfully prosecuted former Congressman Randy Duke Cunningham on corruption charges. Apparently, the Cunningham and Jack Abramoff convictions were only the tip of the iceberg. Some suggest that as many as 20 to 30 legislatures, numerous high, profile media celebrities, and at least one foreign head of state are involved in what, before the firings, were active investigations. In addition, the tentacles of these investigations also reach out to include the Valerie Plame affair, which at its heart involves evidence that the White House deliberately manufactured evidence regarding Iraq's war capabilities and the intentions that were ultimately led to the U.S. invasion of that country in 2003. If any of this is remotely accurate, it's very conceivable that the White House is guilty of obstruction of justice at the very least. Now that Congress is threatening to issue subpoenas to the White House, forcing them to testify under oath about the matter, President Bush has drawn a defiant line in the sand. He adamantly refuses to allow his lieutenants to testify. He calls it a matter of executive privilege. However, I'm reminded of both Bush's and Gonzalez's responses to critics of the Draconian Patriot Act and other policies highly invasive to private lives of American citizens when they arrogantly replied, "If you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to worry about." Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. If Bush and Gonzalez have nothing to hide, then they have nothing to worry about. Contrary to the claims of many Republicans, this is no constitutional crisis. The only crisis to the Constitution is the fact that for far too long, both major parties have ignored it. It is the duty of Congress to hold the executive branch in check. The truth is, the executive branch of the federal government, especially under this president, has secured more power and authority unto itself than is constitutionally permissible, and it is past time for Congress to rein it in. Folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report. I'm going to find out what federal agency likes to call me while I'm doing the show. The call-in number is 800-313-9443. Why don't you call me tomorrow on air, if you've got the courage. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. God bless.